Like Ty, I too in college wish that half the room had disappeared. 20 years later, I take off my glasses and all the rest of you go away. So, but I need to do that to see my notes. I have to apologize. I don't even work in the bureau where this presentation came from. I'm filling in thanks to Hurricane Sandy. So if you'll please bear with me, I'm unable to answer any questions at the end, but I'm going to do my best to do this justice. I also got the slides at 11 o'clock last night. So, so this is an example of a project that can turn into a quality improvement process. And I have to say, this brings me back to my original roots of quality improvement from college, and I've figured out a way to translate that to occupational health. So in 2011, a process started at the health department that was a result of a response to some issues that we had with EMS training and certification issues, and there's a slide that talks about that a little bit later. And what happened was that people at the health department realized that they thought some changes were being made, and little had changed as a result of some of the investigations, and that there was also a culture within the organization that people thought it's not possible to change, and people are just going to do bad things. So they brought together a committee of about 10 people for a year to do some strategic planning. So these are the learning objectives. I'm going to try not to read all of these slides to you, but go over them quickly. Mostly, the thing to take away is that this really was a consensus-building model and a way to engage stakeholders in helping the health department figure out what we could do better to improve things. So I found that the Bureau of Healthcare Quality and Safety is our regulatory bureau. We license the hospitals, long-term care agencies, EMS providers, the EMTs, a whole variety of pharmacies. If you follow the meningitis outbreak, that's from us too. So it's sort of siloed. Nobody likes to, you know, really engage with your regulators, right? But we wanted to make sure that because we were building a model of patient-centered care, that they also We built a model of patient-centered regulation. So here you have the patient and then all of the different points of care that can happen. And so using the Office of Emergency Medical Services as a place to start with that, we find that we do this well when it comes to hospitals and long-term care, but not so much in emergency services. So some of the challenges that we face, much like every other local, state and federal agency, we're asked to do more with less, and we're finding that there are budget cuts that are happening. So we have decreasing resources over the last decade. As a matter of fact, within the last 6 months, I understand that the staff for this group was cut by almost a third. So that's pretty significant. But yet we have increased obligations, again, like everybody else. We have this focus in Massachusetts where we're trying to do regionalization of health services, both on the public health, local boards of health end. We have 351 local cities and towns. We don't operate on a county system the way much of the country does. So that's 351 cities and towns that we at the state level have to interact with. So trying to get over this decreasing resources and increased obligation if we can pool efforts to regionalization. There's also this issue of a dwindling trust of the office among licensees. And by licensees, I mean both the EMTs themselves as well as the service providers, the ambulance companies, and training organizations. And there's been this belief that the health department has been stuck in the past in this old model of doing things, and that quality of patient care wasn't at the front, you know, and their foremost priority, but rather that the Office of Emergency Medical Services was arbitrary and punitive in what they were doing and sort of wielding power because, hey, we're the regulators and, you know, we can and we can make you do things. And the fact that we have Massachusetts standards and those are not national standards. And so trying to rethink things and come back in line with what the national standards are. So I mentioned it's a pretty small group. We have 13 FTEs in the Office of Emergency Medical Services, and these are all of the core functions that they're responsible for carrying out. I think that's a lot. 13 FTEs for 28,000 licensees. So 28,000 EMTs, the ambulance services, as well as the training institutes. This is among the lowest ratio across the country. We rank in the bottom five of the 50 states for that. So here I'm airing our dirty laundry, so to speak. But as you know from quality improvement, right, you can't get anywhere if you sweep everything under the rug. So I think this is really useful. So this is just to show you, this graph represents the number of days open for the number of days that an investigation is open. So you can see in 2010 and 2011, a few cases that were open one day. That was where you, the Office of Emergency Medical Services went in and said, nothing's going on here, case closed. But then you can see 148 days, 167 days is the mean, the maximum of over 500 days, almost 550. A little more in 2010. So with those cases that are open a long time, we have two issues. One is that there's a public safety issue if you have somebody who's operating, you know, out in the field that may not be doing the appropriate things, may not be appropriately licensed, and so they could be putting patients at harm. On the flip side, you would have somebody who's under investigation maybe for they're not doing anything wrong. And so that's a long time to be under investigation without having things resolved. So one of the goals is to really tighten this up and get some action and really support the licensees. You should note that when we do investigations in hospitals, it's a significantly shorter amount of time. This is six times the duration of investigations in hospitals to come to closure. So there's the access to quality training. It varies greatly across Massachusetts. In the metro Boston area, it's more strong, better quality than what you might find in many of the Western Mass towns. And there's a national certification exam that happens, and 46 states recognize this. So there's reciprocity between states. Massachusetts is not one of those 46 states, so we have our own exam, which also means you can't practice in other states. So trying to get back, as I mentioned earlier, closer to the national standards and this alignment with national resources. So this is a ranking. These are all de-identified training institutes, but there's 56 training institutes across the state. And this shows you the first time pass rate of individuals when they're sitting for their licensing exams. And 70% of the training institutes have a first-time pass rate of less than 70%. So that's obviously of great concern to those of us in the health department. Again, for comparison, for the medical boards, 96% of people pass their exams on the first go-around. So there's a lot of room for improvement. And you can see how quickly, you know, it's what, the first five or six that are over 75%. And all the way down to the bottom of 40% pass rate. So this is the issue that I mentioned that started all of this. So we had a bunch of emergency medical technicians who faked their licensing and their accreditation. And so, you know, there's not much more to say. I'll let you read it. You know, we have some work to do with the health department. So, you know, this is a multi-sector approach. We need to engage all stakeholders who are involved. So in addition to DPH, I mentioned this regionalization, but we need to get some regional policies, include the emergency department physicians, get these training institutes on board, get the private EMS as well as the EMS associated with fire departments, get things integrated in training and integrated in community colleges. So then we also wanted to, as I mentioned earlier, publicly acknowledge some of the shortcomings and ask the provider community for help. So, you know, we have to acknowledge what we need to improve upon. And this also created an opportunity for greater dialogue and allowed some other organizations to really take a step back and think about what they were doing. And obviously, we need commitment and support from leadership, which each of the previous speakers have talked about. So I mentioned that there was this committee, and so this was the charge that was put out to the committee, and certainly some of the things that we needed to tackle was this issue of fraud and training and certification. And quality improvement and data feedback loops. I'm going to show you some slides that talk about that. But, you know, as somebody who collects data on worker injuries, it does me no good to collect the data and let it sit in my office. We have to feed it back to the data providers and then figure out how to use it for change. We have some trauma registry data. So MATRIS is the Massachusetts Trauma Registry Information System. keeps track of ambulance runs, collects all kinds of information about those encounters. So we have to make sure that we're looking at that data and that we're linking it to other data that we have available. Getting the medical directors involved and then helping them or having them help us change the systems. And then open communication. You know, that's really, again, another key that, other presenters have talked about. And then using that to help change the operations in the Office of Environmental Emergency. I'm sorry, I work with Environmental and Occupational Health, so the Office of Emergency Medical Services, and to empower providers, centralize the organization, build some parameters for organizations, and then build an office that really supports all of that and supports the changes that are going to be made. So this is probably, you know, pretty self-evident that you can only do the things that you're trained to do, and you can only do the things that you're credentialed to do, or that you're licensed to do, or that you're certified as competent to do. But I think really we need to remind ourselves sometimes of the basics, and that there's all of these pieces, and they overlap, and it's only that centerpiece is what an individual can perform. So it's all about the culture, making sure that we're listening to people, making sure that we're engaging our stakeholders. We're looking forward and not always looking back. And you have to do a little bit of retrospective study, but really not dwelling on that. And recognizing that, you know what, we're a public organization, so we should be transparent as much as we can and recognize that people are going to scrutinize our programs, our policies, and decisions that we make, and that that's okay. And then making sure that we set out manageable goals. I was always taught you set your goals just a shade out of reach because you have to really stretch to get there. But also making sure that we can measure improvement. And so some of the ways that the Office of Emergency Medical Services is going to measure improvement, as I mentioned, the number of days open for cases, investigations, how long that was. And so they certainly want to decrease the number of days that it takes to come to some resolution. There's some administrative cycles that happen, so shortening those and tightening that up. But then setting standards for clinical measures. And we don't have a standard set of clinical measures across the state. This is, forgive me, I only know a little bit about this slide, but basically this is just to show you that, you know, you have to collect data. So you have this 911 call, it's the total encounter, and that data goes into this data entry system, and then it reaches the regional medical directors. I'm sorry that I don't remember what the AHMD is other than it's a physician. But that we also feed that into these systems of care. We have a really strong stroke system in Massachusetts, where we measure from the time somebody gets to the hospital, are they given the right medications, and then what are the outcomes? And so making sure that we take those kinds of models and apply that here. And then making sure that data gets back to the state medical director as well, and that it goes back again to the EMTs and the EMS providers. So making sure that, I'm gonna run out of notes. Making sure that we have a system-wide assessment and that you know, everybody's involved in decision-making, again, engaging the stakeholders, you know, getting improvements in the field, not only policy at the health department level, making sure that we improve training, and so that's the workforce development issue, seeing what we can do to enhance any resources at the health department level so that we don't have just 13 FTEs to carry out all of those core functions that I mentioned. And then using national benchmarks for data-driven improvement. And I would encourage all of you that benchmarks shouldn't be just numbers, that they should really be processes. Mm-hmm. We've gone in healthcare to this dashboard, and how do I compare to, you know, the guy next door? As my mother used to tell me when I was a kid, I don't care what Susie down the street's doing. You're not doing it. It's going to be done this way. And that's kind of how I look at this. There's so many factors at play, right, when we do benchmarking and measuring things. It's not about the numbers so much as the process. I've said over and over again, engaging the stakeholders and getting them to talk with the regulators and making sure that we as regulators are open to hearing what the stakeholders have to say. It is really essential. and I'm not going to read all of this to you, but making sure that we do some culture change within the Office of Emergency Medical Services so that they can see that it is possible to make change, and you know, we shouldn't just sort of throw up our hands and say people are just going to do bad things. You know, we don't want to be so afraid of what other people are going to say when they scrutinize us, and we really, again, have to be open to that. And so getting out in front of the issues helps to promote change as well. And if anybody's seen the news, we in Massachusetts have been getting out in front of an awful lot of issues lately. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.